Well, Psalm number 10. Why does God hide himself? Psalm 10 has got this really important question sitting there in verse 1. Probably one that we've all asked at some point in our lives. Verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Perhaps you just like spend a moment thinking about your own life when you've had times of trouble. And in those times, has God often seemed far away? Has he seemed to be hiding himself? Well, that's the question. Why does God hide himself? And Psalm 10 gives us actually one wrong answer from the wicked in the psalm and six right answers. So let's look at the actual trouble first in verses 2 to 10. So here we have King David, probably, who wrote the psalm, and he's describing the problem, the trouble, in detail. Verse 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. So on this perhaps rare occasion, it's not David's own personal problems that he's writing about, but a general one. The plight of the poor, the plight of the defenseless. Verse 3. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul. The wicked renounces the Lord. The problem we have here is one, in fact, of atheism, or perhaps more precisely, of anti-theism, rather like Philip Pullman's books, if you've read any of those, The Amber Spyglass and The Subtle Knife. Pullman is not so much an atheist as an anti-theist, and actually, if you read between the lines, he's more of an anti-Roman Catholic anti-theist, I suppose. Verse 4, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. He's behaving, he's thinking as if there were no God. But, verse 5, and this is where it really begins to sting, his ways prosper at all times, apparently. Verse 5 goes on, your judgments are on high, out of his sight. In other words, God's law seems to be invisible to the wicked. He seems to get away with breaking it all the time, and even somehow seems to prosper. Verse 6, he says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. So he actually thinks that he has no real enemies. He imagines that he is immortal. Verse 7 goes on, his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression, and under his tongue, mischief and iniquity. In other words, his evil speech matches his evil actions. Verse 8, he sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places, he murders the innocent. Down in verse 9, he lurks that he may seize the poor. Verse 10, the helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. Why? Because, as usual, his victims are the poor, his victims are the helpless, his victims are often God's poor, helpless people. Here's the problem, here's the trouble. He's evil, and he seems to be getting away with it. That is the problem. Rather like the Nazi death camp doctor who used to experiment on people, children, during the Second World War. Dr. Mengele, have you heard of him? Dr. Death, he was sometimes known as. And he escaped to South America and apparently lived happily ever after. And many years later, he died at an old age of a heart attack or a stroke or something during his morning swim, apparently. That's a problem, isn't it? That is trouble. And that's what the psalmist is asking about when he says, why does God hide himself? And that sort of thing goes on. So next, we turn to the first answer to the question, which is actually the wrong answer. It comes from the wicked in verse 11. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Can you see what the wicked man is saying here? He's saying God is like Admiral Nelson, who said, I see no ships, as he put his telescope to his blind eye. But actually, the evil man here has made a big mistake that we must be careful not to copy. You see, the evil man thinks that God is just not bothered by his evil behaviour. We must be so careful not to fall into that trap ourselves. And we must remember that that is what so many evil enemies of the church, of the gospel, of God, think to themselves. God's not bothered. He's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it. But thankfully, we then move on to six correct answers. Now, the first one is going to seem a little bit like a bodge of an answer, but it is there in the psalm. It's really important. So be patient with answer number one, and hopefully answer 2 to 6 will seem more straightforward. So what about the first answer to this question? Why does God hide himself in times of trouble? Well, the first answer is actually back in verse 1 itself, and it's this, that God is merely hiding himself temporarily. In times of trouble, what the Christian needs to hear as the right answer is that actually God is still there. He is watching. He does notice. He's just hiding for a little while. This is the kind of wisdom that we find a lot in the wisdom books in the Bible, Psalms, Job, Ecclesiastes. It's called observational wisdom, and it focuses not so much on something that's been revealed from heaven, but it focuses on what things look like in the here and now. It focuses on how they seem, and you get it a lot in the biblical wisdom literature, especially in Ecclesiastes, actually. So to both the wicked and to the troubled Christians, it looks as if there is no God, or that he doesn't really notice our trouble. That's what it looks like. That's what it seems like. And it's true. That really is how it seems. So it's not as if these bits of wisdom literature are somehow untrue and not from God. They are. And they're in the Bible and they are true. But they're in terms of what we can observe around us. And can you see how the very existence of verses 2 to 11 in this psalm actually show us that God does know what things look like from our point of view? We know that because he's included it by the Holy Spirit's working through David in Psalm number 10. Can you see that? He knows how we feel when the wicked just seem to get away with it. And actually, in New Testament terms, we're better off than King David, writing in 1000 BC or so, because we have Jesus. Jesus who was made like his brothers in every way, Hebrews 2. Jesus who feels what we feel. Jesus who sympathizes, Hebrews 4, with our troubles, with our sins, and with our weaknesses. So this first answer might seem a little bit inadequate. Why does God hide himself? But it's this, really. You need to know that God only seems invisible. He's just hiding for a bit. He's just hiding temporarily, or is not what it seems. Let's move on then to the second answer to the question, why does God hide himself? The second answer is in verse 12, very straightforward. How does the psalmist respond to the wisdom that he's written down in verses 1 to 11? Well, verse 12, he prays. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. Do not forget the afflicted. This is the second reason why God hides himself, apparently. And it's very simple and obvious, isn't it? It's to teach you and me to pray. I know a certain Presbyterian minister actually said this to me. He said, I've been a Christian 30 years, but you know, it's only in the last 2 or so that I've really learned to pray. In other words, it was when he experienced some real distress, some real trouble. In his case, I think it was a daughter with a life-threatening disease. It was only then, in the trouble, that he really learned how really to pray, really. You know, we do not learn to pray by being on holiday, sitting on a beach, sunning ourselves, licking an ice cream, reading a novel, making sand castles with not a care in the world, do we? But we do learn to pray when God sends trouble and hides for a little while. So, God sometimes hides himself to teach us to pray. Let's make sure we don't waste those opportunities when they come along. Third answer to this question, why does God hide himself in trouble? Well, it's this, it's to show that he actually knows everything. We might think that God does not know what is going on, but verse 13, why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call me to account, you will not call anyone to account? Verse 14, the important bit, that you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. You see, God does see, he does care, also in verse 17, and he will deal with it, take it into his hands at some point. And this is how it is, isn't it? A period without God acting, or at least without him seeming to act, from our point of view, really makes us appreciate him when he does, in the end, act. Then, you know, we must worship God for his omniscience, that he knows everything. It's one of those characteristics of God that we tend to forget about. We think he doesn't know everything, but he really does. And we are called to worship him for his omniscience. And a period of his inactivity, a period of him apparently not seeing, when he does act, shows that, oh, God does know what's going on. He really is omniscient. And it reminds us to worship him for his omniscience, as well as many other things, of course. Fourth answer to the question, why does God hide himself in trouble? Well, it's there in verse 14, the second part of verse 14, you might call it lines C and D. To you, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. On the beach, licking your ice cream. Are you learning to trust God? Well, probably not. But when trouble comes, what about then? Do you immediately learn to trust God? Well, again, probably not. See, at first, we try to fix things ourselves, don't we? It's foolish, but we do it every time, especially the male of the species. But a long time later, when our fixes have failed, then we give in and we learn to trust God. We give the trouble to God, don't we? Who here has noticed that sometimes when we give a trouble to God, eventually, after a long time, that is when he actually takes away the trouble? I'd say, put your hands up, but it doesn't work too well on the video, does it? Christian, we need to learn to trust God, but actually, a lot of the time, we need to learn to trust God, not just better, but sooner. We need to learn to trust him faster. We need to learn to trust him more immediately in times of trouble. And the psalmist is teaching us to do that. Fifthly, if there were no trouble, you know, God's justice would remain invisible. Verse 15, break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. It's because God hides himself for a while that the wicked sin with impunity, but eventually, and on the day of judgment, God's carefully kept records of sin will be exhausted. I think that's what he means in the second line of verse 15. Call his wickedness to account until you find none. Exhaust those records of sin. Verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Because God hides, then in the end justice will be done, and he's seen to be done, won't it? Why does God hide himself? Sixthly, to get himself glory. Verse 15, verse 16, verse 18. You see, by being patient at first, he gets the glory later. By defeating your enemies, our enemies, and of course, those enemies are his enemies as well. Verse 15a, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Bring them to justice. Get glory. Verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. Here the nations are your enemies and God's enemies, and they're going to perish. Verse 18, middle of, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Man is merely mortal. God will get glory over the evil man, rather like what happened in Egypt. God gave Pharaoh some slack at first, and he sends some plagues. And then when Pharaoh chases Israel into the Red Sea, there, that is when God finally gets glory for himself, by saving his people, as he promised, and by defeating Pharaoh and destroying the Egyptian. That's the sixth reason. So then, where have we been with Psalm number 10? Well, hopefully we've seen that the Christian life is a strange paradox. There's so much trouble, but God hides. Why would God hide himself in trouble? Indeed, from our New Covenant, New Testament perspective, it feels as if Jesus went back to heaven and left us to cope on our own. Why does God hide himself in trouble? Why does Jesus hide himself when there's so much trouble going on in our world? And yet, through Jesus' temporary absence, through him hiding, you might say, in heaven for a little while, well, first, we learn to pray properly. And then we learn to worship God's omniscience, especially when he eventually acts and shows that he knew what was going on all the time. And we learn to trust the Lord Jesus Christ through all our troubles. Not through our ease, usually, but mainly through those times of trouble. And then when Jesus comes again, he will also bring with him total justice for his troubled people. And by his hiding away, Jesus, the Lord God himself, will get great glory just by delaying, as he did with Pharaoh. And we just need to remember that God is hiding for a bit. So if we try to put all these ideas in the psalm together, what do we get? We get something like this, that God hiding himself during troubles is actually intended to strengthen your relationship with him. So if, for example, this COVID-19 crisis ends one day, and we pray it will, don't we? But if it ends without your relationship and my relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, being strengthened, then all this trouble has been a bit of a waste, hasn't it? Because, you see, God hiding himself during our troubles is intended to strengthen our relationship with him. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we've seen in this psalm your omniscience. We praise you for the way you know everything. We thank you and we praise you that one day you will dish out complete justice for everyone, especially your persecuted, troubled people. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that in the meantime you will help us to trust you through our troubles and to believe that you are only hiding temporarily. Hear our prayers, end our troubles, we pray, but strengthen our relationships with you. Thank you for Psalm 10, in Jesus' name. Amen.